Here we go. That's not it. There it is. Good morning.
Good morning. Today we have some cool stuff going on today, Sammy. We're gonna be talking about Pokemon, Popeye, Darth Vader, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the topic of the day, shooting that shot. So we got a lot going on. So we better get started, dog.
I'm strong to the finish because I eat me spinach.
I love the opening minus the coffee cup. I got to be honest.
You got your boy, your Depends every time you listen to it?
No, I think it goes into ends, and I'm like, all right, we're ready to rock. And then that pause. And it's like, it just kind of like.
It's reminding everybody, they're like, oh, we got to go watch the morning brew. And they're like, oh, wait, I forgot my coffee. When they hear that, like, that's right, I left it on the kitchen.
Then I think open up with it. Whatever. It's all good. What's going on, everyone? Good morning. It is Thursday, June 2nd. Sammy's still coughing up a lung over there. But welcome. We are here with the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew. Thank you so much for coming on. If you haven't done so yet, we are going to be talking about a whole bunch of, you know, just topics and different pop culture things that we're going to be discussing. If you are interested in doing that with us every morning on Thursdays, please sign up to the channel, subscribe, comment, like, do all that fun stuff, and you know, just chill with us. But what's going on, Sammy? How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Feeling better? You feeling
no,
better? You still?
No, I'm not, I was gonna work out today, but my breathing is like that stuff does attack your freaking respiration system. Respiratory system, whatever.
Respiration.
Yeah, respiration.
It's hard to respirate, man.
Yes.
I can't respirate at all.
I mean, a whole new name. So I was gonna work out today, but it's like you feel exhausted from here up. You know, it feels like I'm taking deep breaths. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah, and then it's storming out. It was a violent thunderstorm last night. It was crazy. I was like, what is going on out there?
Damn, dog.
Yeah, but I do want to say, got a backer early this morning. Thank you so much. So, you know, we are, 60 away from matching. And again, remember, if you come back and back the campaign, you will get this magnet. So if you backed issue one and you back in issue two, physically, you'll get this. Digitally, you'll get a digital copy. And if you didn't back issue one, but you want to back this campaign and you backed Wonder Duck, you get that as well. And again, if we get 100 backers, there's a print that everybody gets. There's an incentive for everybody. Excited. We didn't make goal funding on the first day, so didn't do the raffle for the three sketch covers. Doesn't mean there won't be any incentives down the road, but that's the dealio. And so there will be a weekend bundle that I'll be announcing tomorrow. So look out for the Kickstarter updates. I'll have a cool weekend bundle. For everybody who's going to Dallas Fan Expo, if you back the campaign, and I'll announce it at Fan Expo as well, if you back the campaign and you get issue two, and you get the physical copy of issue one at Fan Expo, and you back the campaign, you'll get a commission sketch card in your package when it's time to redeem the rewards. So there's an incentive for everybody at Fan Expo as well. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome.
And then you ended successfully, 5 Gs.
I sent an update this morning for all the backers. So you guys should have gotten a little update on what the next few steps are. If you haven't had a chance to read it, Definitely. So right now, Kickstarter is going to start collecting funds. There may be, if there's an error with one of your payments, just fix it. And then
I went through it like that.
And then, they'll be able to then, you know, get through their whole process of taking out the fees and all that other stuff. So for the first week, every 2 days, they're going to be sending you, like, if there is an error to your payment, every 2 days for the next week, I think through Tuesday or Wednesday next week, they'll let you know, hey, it, you know, fix this. So you're going to be getting those emails. And then after that, the next week is when they start, you know, they decide, okay, that pledge is not going to come through. They drop that pledge and they work with the number that they have as far as taking all fees and all that other fun stuff. Then they'll send me the funds and then I can start ordering whatever it is that I have to order for you guys. In the meantime, though, while that is happening, I am going to be sending you guys surveys, and those surveys are going to have questions about, you know, where to mail the stuff to, what size t-shirt, what color t-shirt, you know, what email address you want to send digital copies to and things of that nature. So make sure you fill those out, because sometimes that'll hold up the whole process of fulfilling it, because I got to know where, how many things I got to order or things like that. So that's happening after that. And then boom, it's on and popping. I will be sending everything out. Hopefully by July, you guys will have everything. And that's all she wrote. Yeah. That's so much. Awesome. Thank you so much, everyone, for your generosity, for making that campaign so successful. I never expected 5Gs. You know what I mean?
For all the veterans out there that took like 3, 4, 5 years to get to that point and you came out the gate, you know, I'm just saying, take some notes from his playbook. It was masterful. It was a masterclass on launching a Kickstarter. So fantastic, fantastic job. I'm taking notes. Speaking of that, I took a note. I'm taking a note now. I just realized, if you're watching the show, say you back the first campaign and second campaign and you already know you're getting this magnet for free, right? But if you back it now while we're live, I'm going to throw in this bookmark as well. So everybody who backs it when I'm live on any Cash the Craze episode, every time we back, I will write down your name and you will get this bookmark straight out the Medina playbook. So I'm not afraid to say that I copy, paste, and repeat.
Nah, bro, we all do, bro. You know how many things I took from like other indies? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we do. We're all learning. I'm still learning. Like, this was very successful, and you know, I was fortunate. I was fortunate in that it all worked out. But, you know, there's a lot of preparation that goes through it, a lot of questions being asked. Listen, JD Calderon, big shout out to him. We had him on the show and he was telling us exactly what he did to be successful in his
campaign. I mean, look how long it took him to get to your status. I mean,
But you know what? Hey, listen.
I think there was a technique that you used. There was an approach that you used that was very eye-opening.
I think you take things and you build on that, and you talked about this on you take that shot and you hopefully you make it, and if you don't, you know, learn, you dust yourself off and you do something else. But to give credit to JD again, like he was very open about, hey man, he gave us a whole hour. We sat down for an hour and he was just breaking down exactly what to do from before you launch, when the campaign is live, and after you've launched. So if you guys are doing a Kickstarter anytime soon, definitely go back into the archives of our channel and check out that interview we did with JD, because it was very, very, very informative. And so I used a lot of that stuff. You know, the whole thing about going on podcast, which you're going to be doing soon, you know, he told us, he said, yo, do as many podcasts as you can.
Yeah.
I think for this campaign, I think I probably should have done more podcasts in the middle of the campaign. I did most of mine at the beginning, so by the end I wasn't on any podcast, but it's all good. I thank you very much, Sammy, for the kind words, and whatever mistake I made, I'll tell you, whatever mistake I feel like I made, I'll tell you, and whatever worked for me, I'll share that too. Message me, ask me, I'll answer those questions. I don't care, man.
Speaking of that, I'll be on Andre Daniels' podcast tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be live. So check it out. I'm looking forward to that tonight. That's the second show on my tour. I think I have 9 shows. Let's see. I'll tell you right now what's going on. I want to give a shout out to these podcasters. So where is that? A big shout out to Jeffrey Haas, you know, who actually helped me secure these podcasts. But let's see. Tonight is Andre Daniels at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow, I'm on Hooligan Alley at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then on Sunday, I'll be on J.D. Calderon's Indie Comics Explained. So that's this week. And then next week, I'm on Flipside Focus, Story Comic, and Blake Hollywell's Dark Wars. And then the following week, I'm on Brew Gooders. And then I'm also scheduled to be on Pops Van Zandt's show. And I'm also scheduled to be on something else. I forgot it. But shout out to all those guys that, you know, I did put out the call saying that I'll be doing my podcasts. And these guys answered. So I really appreciate you guys tremendously. And again, if you're a podcaster and I'm looking to get some shows at the end of the month, that's the only week I don't have. If you have a slot, hook me up. I'll send you a PDF copy of issue one. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, definitely, man. The podcasting community, you know, they've warmed up, I think, more so. There's a lot of us doing this stuff. Just a quick announcement to those who have campaigns who want to be on this show. Just remember that we are not doing live Kickstarter shows. Yeah. All of our Kickstarter shows will be pre-recorded. So please contact us with enough time. If you know your campaign is launching, you know, in the middle of this month and it's going to run through July, you want to book that right away. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see what's available. But you definitely want to book because we're going to be pre-record them. And then just obviously we're going to air it during the time that your campaign is live. But we want to make sure that you let us know that with enough time so that we can plan that out. So just a reminder for you guys that are planning on coming on here to talk about your projects.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But let's talk a little bit about just really quick. And I'll run through this quick because there's not really much to talk about. But we talked about last night, if you guys were watching the show, we're talking about Pokemon. And those Pokemon fans, I know Sam said he loved the theme song. Well, Pokemon's got a new game on the Nintendo Switch that's going to be released in the winter of 2022. And if you're a Pokemon fan, you probably already know this. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, that game is coming to the Nintendo Switch. So for those Pokemon fans out there, make sure you catch that. It's coming out winter 2022. So get excited. We got that. Was watching Obi-Wan yesterday, Sam. We were talking about this off air. And for those who are watching the show, there's a comic book that was released back between 2017 and 2018 by Charles Soules, S-U-L-E-S, called Darth. It was a book about Darth Vader that had basically run the exploits of Vader from 19 to 12 BBY, which is their timeline or whatever. Because he's pretty savage in this show, bro. Like, we were talking about the savagery, and spoiler alert, if you guys haven't watched the episode.
Sucks to be you.
But but Darth Vader makes an appearance on the new episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he's a bit of a savage on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, I'm trying to understand. I mean, if you got your body burned to shreds, amputated, all limbs amputated. And then you got all the, did you see the length of those needles and attachments that are going into his body?
Yeah, dude.
I'd be forget pissed, about dude. It. Everybody would be
I'd
dead.
Be a little upset.
As soon as that damn thing is on, I'm like, ah! You know, so yeah, so he's pissed off. You understand. And then, you know, he has a vendetta. He wants to get the man that made that happen to him, which really he caused it upon himself because the guy was his mentor. And, you know, he just was easily manipulated, a weak mind. He's a weak soul. But, so that's how he got persuaded into the dark side.
Right.
But, you know, it was just like, damn, I mean, these people, man, you were just sitting there. You're watching the novella with your family. You're having some dinner. You know, you got some sancocho, and you're like there, your little bebito, you know, like whatever. And next, you know, your neck is snapped.
That's
what
sick.
The hell did I do?
And nobody even walked in the room. It was just like this force that lifted you off the ground and did. I'm like, what?
Which is what I'm saying. And then what pisses me off is that on the flip side, Obi-Wan like forgot he's got the Force, that he's a master Jedi. You know what I mean? It's like, are you kidding me?
I hear you. I hear you.
You know, 100%. Obi-Wan, you're responsible for a Jedi Knight.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, are you kidding me? You're weaker than when you were in the old Obi-Wan. You know, and that was the part that's like pissing me off. I was like, yo, I said, come on, stop playing the victim. Don't do what they did with Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Remember? He became weak and, you know, whatever. It's like, what? Yeah. Who is it, the same writer? It's like, you have a problem with strength that you got to make everybody, all these heroes, into wimps?
Problem with strength. Wow.
Yo. It's like, you know, it's funny because I saw it says, Dave Chappelle said, people celebrate when a hero falls. They love to see the hero be, you know, weak, right? Because it justifies their insecurities about themselves. And that's basically whoever's writing this stuff is like, it's like that is, that's the person who doesn't want the hero to be the hero. He's the freaking hero. The girl shouldn't be running off. He should be like, put you in a book bag. Yeah. You know, like, come on.
Princess Leia, she's a little bit much.
She needs a spanking.
A little bit much. A little bit much.
Very
smart little girl, you know. She is Princess. She will become Princess Leia, but, like, why is she calling the shots? What are we doing?
Your Barbies.
Why? Whoa, easy.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. It's fantastic. Made of plastic.
She can play with whatever toy she wants. Just go play with some toys. You know what I mean?
My sister played with G.I. Joe's when I was a kid.
Exactly. So go play with some toys. I'm just saying, like, she's running the shots. She's like too much. Yeah. Too much. I think they're giving her, you know, they're trying to make her a strong, you know, female lead or whatever. And I get it. She is Princess Leia. She's going to become this warrior and she's going to be amazing. But, like, right now, Obi, you need to be like, we're not getting in that car. Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're letting the guests in? You're letting the special guests?
Yeah, they're banging on my door. They can't even focus.
Can't focus?
I can't focus with these knuckleheads. It's like they gotta be everywhere I go. It's like they're like secret agents. It's just, they're like, wait. He goes, we lost the package. We lost the package. He's on the move.
Oh man. So yeah. So I mean, I'm still looking forward to the next few episodes. I hear you. I hear you about Princess Leia.
And then wait. I gotta get this off my chest. So now he's like, get her to safety. I will lead them elsewhere, right? So he's, you know, the ultimate sacrifice. That's what the hero does, right? But you know what? She's the most important package. You don't leave the package, right? So he leaves it to a stranger he just met. Now she doesn't even follow directions. She goes, keep going. I'm going to go back for Obi. She's 2 inches tall. She's a baby. You're going to leave her by herself on this deserted planet where the enemy is around, where you got this guy snapping necks? Are you kidding me? Everyone's just making knucklehead moves. And I'm like, none of it makes sense.
Yeah. And you know what? And that it goes back to that point of let the hero be the hero. Like, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, why are you going back there to save Obi-Wan Kenobi? He'll be all right. Yeah, granted, you know, Darth was, you know, kicking his butt, dragging him through the fire. But he's the hero of the story. He'll be all right. You're telling me that you need to go out there and save him? Protect the girl. Like, that's the whole point.
That's it. Protect the package. You know,
I honestly, in the next episode, I would have loved to see a fight between the third sister and that woman. Like, I don't know who she was. And see her, them go toe-to-toe. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see her coming out to save Obi-Wan and act like a sniper and all of a sudden you save him. Ah, come on, man. Like,
it doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, Leia is like the football for the presidency, right? That's it. That should stay chained to your wrist and it goes where the president goes, right? That's the football. That's the mindset. She's the most valuable thing right now in the universe. And you're going to let a stranger take her off knowing what you're dealing with? Nah. Yeah. Man. And then you're going to start playing vulnerable like you forgot that you're a Jedi.
Yeah, for real.
And you got skills? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, it's like I was mad last night. No wonder it thunderstormed. Man. I think the gods felt me. I was like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Nah, it was. It was nuts. It was nuts, dude. It really, really was. I was like, what the hell? Why can't they all be like, you know, like
smart?
Like, Not only that, but just like let them, like you said, let them be the hero. Listen, we're going to be talking about this next. Popeye, for example, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Popeye was the man. You know, he drank, he ate his spinach, and he went at it with Brutus. He didn't, yes. You know, like I love that. Simple. Yeah. But yeah. Speaking of Popeye, what do you got? You got something on Popeye today?
Yeah, I saw. Let me just get this. Let me set it up. So I saw on ScreenRant.com. Where is it? Bang. So on ScreenRant.com, it says Popeye concept art reveals the horror reboot you didn't know you needed, right? So Kelly Jones is the artist, and he did this rendition of Popeye's in a horror scene. This is the scene. I mean, that image is dope. Wow. Look at that.
Damn.
That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Even like the cross hatching, the ink work is pretty fly, you know. You know, it's funny. When I first started drawing, I was always trying to mimic that style of inking. But anyway, so I was that
image stuff. Those guys used to do tons of that stuff back in the 90s.
Yeah, but that is such a beautiful, beautiful piece. And
was that the cover? That looks like a cover.
That was a piece that he did for fun. I guess he wanted to do a horror comic and it got scrapped. And then the article further goes on to say that you know, he wants to eventually hopefully do one, a horror-based Popeye. But they also talked about, I mean, come on, Popeye's been out since the 20s. So they always talk about they did try to do a remake of the movie. But when they did test films, they scrapped it because the feedback was lackluster. And so it goes back to, you know, like for instance, you know, yesterday I was watching Alf again, right? So it's a marathon again, and it happened the last time I launched the Disney on my toilet, and it's not happening now, right? So and Shout got the license for it. So it's a this just is another example of properties that people are trying to reinvent, and people are pitching licenses. I can do this with this brand, or I can do that with this brand. So I just thought it was cool because Popeye is such an iconic character. I remember growing up watching Popeye 6 a.m. So I'd wake up 5 a.m. It would start with the Newsy Review, then the Great Space Coaster, then Popeye's would be back to back to back on the, I think it was Channel 5. I forgot what channel it was. But I loved the Robin Williams Popeye's. So it's just an iconic brand. I just thought it was a great twist. I love that art style. I love that look of Popeye. It just fly.
Yeah. Well, what were you? So just expand on what you were talking about, the licensing side of this whole thing, being that you just came back from licensing. What were you saying on the whole licensing side of that?
Well, licensing, that's basically what was happening at the licensing expo. People were looking for expired licenses. The biggest thing on the show floor was existing brands that have expired contracts. So people are renegotiating contracts. People were coming in. So the big thing was NFTs. So there was a lot of people pitching what they could do with your product as an NFT and how they can you know, convert things for you and all this other stuff, whatever. So NFT companies were pitching to existing licenses. This is what we can do. Virtual reality was another big thing, the meta universe. So you had a lot of these virtual reality businesses that were saying, if we took your product, we could do this with it. And this, imagine if that. And that's what's happening with existing brands and existing licenses. Popeyes is just an example of that. I mean, they had Garbage Pail Kids there that people were negotiating for. It was just, all I saw was old brands that people were just trying to grab and capitalize and continue to squeeze that lemon to get as much juice out of it as possible.
Yeah. A lot of these things, you're right. I mean, whose license? I think it was, you were talking about the other day, a couple of weeks ago, was Conan, right? The Conan license had expired from Marvel and going back to the owners of the thing itself. So yeah, I mean, licensing, you forget how important it is in everything that we're doing, especially within the indie community. How, you know, licensing your product can definitely take you to that next level. But there comes a lot of prep work even before
there's a lot of prep work, you know. Yeah. I mean, anything you're going to do and any partnership you're going to have, it's going to require a lot. And it sounds, you know, you hear the word license and you hear contracts. It's not that easy. There's a 6-month vetting period, right? So there's a filling out period. There's a pitch period. There's a negotiation period. Right. There's a review period of terms, you know, all that stuff. But then there's a signing. And then from that point on, now it's now. And then there's the next 6 months where it's now, okay, now you got to gather all of the assets and start working on that marketing strategy and all that stuff and stop developing whatever it is, if it's an animation, the storyboarding, you know, get a script writer, you know, all that stuff, whatever. And that goes through a 6-month process before you, that's just, and then it goes to pre-production, you know. So you got, you took about 2 years before your project will see light of day.
Yeah.
You know, you know, so it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely. There's so much that goes into it. I mean, and like you were saying, even, you know, we mentioned that briefly on the other episodes, like there's a lot of questions about what, you know, what your project has already done in the market, you know, whether or not you're bringing in any kind of revenue already and yeah. how much revenue you're bringing in. And all those questions are being asked. So it's a whole different animal. I mean, when you go into a licensing show like this, you got to come ready. You got to come prepared. And obviously things change because the last time we were there, things were a little different. The world has changed, and obviously,
yeah, the world's changed. I think people are looking for quick cash grabs. I think companies are less likely to want to put in the startup money. They want to come in and put the continue to build money. You know what I'm saying? So they want already, yeah, they want already to see that there's established foundation where there's a profit margin. And there's money to be made before they go in. They don't want to be there from the ground floor up. The companies that will do that are those really the newer companies, the ones that are 5 years and under, they understand the value of untapped potential, that coal, that piece of coal that you're going to compress into a diamond. They understand that. Other companies just want a diamond mine. They don't want to even have to worry about compressing anything. They just want the whole mine. Give me the mine. You got a mine already? How much is it in there? All right, we're coming in. We'll give you some more excavating equipment. So that's basically what it is.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, it's a gamble that they're not willing to take on a property that hasn't already doesn't have already a following. You know, mm-hmm. they don't want to take that gamble, which I get it. I get it. You know, there's a lot of money being put down, you know, 250 G's or whatever the hell they're going to put down on your product. You know, am I willing to take that shot with that property? Let's see where it goes. Let's see if it has a little more traction before I actually do it. But you know what? But it goes back to what you were talking about, right? Taking the shot on Monday or whenever we did that last
week. It was last week, yeah.
It was last week. And we're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. But yeah, that's kind of like, you know, sort of like what we were talking about, even you going out there, taking that shot and heading out there. But yeah, no, we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But do we have any bumps or anything in between? Any?
You know what? I'll show a clip from the licensing expo. So people, you know, what are we talking about? I'll show that. So that crowd that you saw on the side of me, they were all there for Netflix.
Oh, really?
So yeah, Netflix was having a cocktail hour, and that if Paul would have put the camera down that whole aisle, there was like over 100 people down that aisle just trying to get the attention of the executives at Netflix.
Those were the rock stars over there.
I strategically placed myself there because I knew all the executive offices were there, all the meeting offices. So I wanted to be right there, and I was right next to the stadium where they had all the big lectures and the guest speakers. So I was right there where I knew the crowds were going to be, and I knew I'd get the attention of people. And that's another thing, you know, strategically making sure that you're in the right location. You know, that's what I don't like about like Fan Expo. I have no say in where they're going to place me. You know, I still don't even know where I am. I don't know if I'm in some by the bathroom in a corner. I don't know where I am. But, you know, when you're doing something like licensing, when you're paying a lot of money, you get a choice of where you want. You know, the size of the booth, the location of the booth, all that stuff.
So you were able to tell them where you wanted to be placed?
Yeah, they gave me a floor map and they said, here's a floor map. Where would you like it? And you knew based on the dimensions how much you would be paying. Once I saw that, I mean, I looked at the floor map 20 times and then I looked at who's there and I was like, oh, wait, look at this. All these people are right there. All the people that I'm trying to connect with. That, you know, it's like, I didn't want to be next to Paramount's booth. I wanted to be next to where they had their offices, where they're bringing all their meetings to, because they're going to pass by, they're going to look and they're like, oh, what's this? Boom. And then, you know, hopefully capitalize on that. So I think whenever you have control of placement, take advantage of it.
Yeah. No, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, but it worked out to a certain extent. I mean, you got the exposure. You definitely were out there doing some work, mm-hmm. you know, and hopefully, you know, you see something from it. But taking the shot was the biggest step, I guess. And you spoke about that on the Crazy in 10 or Less. So, you know, walk us through what that, in case people missed it, what was the topic and why did you choose to talk about
it? Well, it comes back to, like, I have a reputation where people say that when Sam makes up his mind, you know, there's no stopping him. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. He's just going to do it. And that's the reason why I did take the shot, because that wasn't Sam. I wasn't always that way. The reason I became that way is because of so many missed opportunities I didn't take the advantage of. I didn't take the shot because I got afraid, because of head junk, because of insecurities, lack of confidence. And I told a story about this girl. I worked at the airport. I was like 16, 17 as a security guard at JFK. I was on the outside the gates. That was at a time when you couldn't even get inside the airport unless you had your boarding passes. And so we had to validate that you had the passes in order to get into the terminal, and family couldn't go in there and walk you in. So I don't know why things changed and became so more liberal. But anyway,
well, 90
and there was a bus, you know, the airport bus, and there was a girl on the airport bus. She worked on it. And every day I would see her and I was like, she was gorgeous. And I was like, man, who is she? And I was trying to wave at her. And, you know, trying to talk to her from where I was like, can you come off? And she's like, you need to come on. And, you know, and I didn't know who she was. And then I would talk about it to my friends. And so my friend Raymond, you know, and his girlfriend decided to come to the airport, and they rode the bus for 5 hours, and they went on every bus trying to find her. She wasn't on it that day. They leave. She shows up. I'm like, what the fludge? Right. So then this went on and on. And then one day she pulls up in a car. And right at my gate, and she's with her shift supervisor. So it's a company car. And she points at me, and I froze. Because I didn't know. I was like, am I in trouble? Is she saying I'm a stalker? What is this? You know, all the head junk goes in. And I turned, and I pretended I didn't see her. And I stood there, like, I felt like I couldn't breathe and whatever until she left. And, you know, and I never saw her again. And I felt like, why did I freeze? When the moment came, I didn't take my shot. You know, I thought about this girl for over a month. You know, my friends went out their way, all this stuff, whatever. And she pulls up and I didn't take my shot. And so I think that was one of many examples of throughout my life, my teen life and my young men life, where I missed opportunities because of fear. And so over time, I got to a point where I can't live that way anymore. I don't know. And if my gut tells me I have a there's a 10% potential of success rate. That 10% is enough for me to just go for it. You know, because I don't want to look back and say I didn't because of fear. I didn't because of feedback. You know, because sometimes when you ask for feedback, it's for people who don't understand, and or who in themselves are not in a place that where they would take a risk, right? So so I think for me is that you got to trust yourself. You got to, you know, and your instincts. And if you think it's the right thing to do, then give it 100% and take the shot. If you miss, you know, how many people have taken a shot and still lost the game? How many UFC fighters go in there and took the fight and they lost? You know, I mean, Conor McGregor is an example. He was dominating for a long time and then he lost and he still keeps coming back. You know, at least you can say, I went in there and I fought. You know, I went in there and I took the shot. I played to win. It wasn't my day, but I played to win.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there were a few things, and I watched the video. I thought it was funny that you used the word maiden. You used the word damsel. I was like, word, Sam? We got a maiden and a damsel. Okay, all right. I hear you, dog. But to your point, so and then you said something very, very, you used the term, what do I have to lose, right? Take the shot. What do I have to lose? And I think that that's key, right? That's the key question. Because if you have something to lose, you're probably not going to take that shot because there's a lot to lose or there's something that you are afraid of losing. You gave an example just now. McGregor, if he goes into a ring and fights somebody and loses, he's got nothing to lose because he already has the money. So he's going to take that shot. It's easier to take that shot because he already has the money. He's not losing that money. You know what I mean? What do you lose? Reputation? I don't care. I'm a millionaire. I don't give a crap about reputation anymore. You know what I mean? And back in the days when he didn't have the money, he didn't have the money, so he had nothing to lose back then. So he's in a win-win right now, you know what I mean, as far as taking shots for whatever it is. I think that what happens is, what are you willing to lose it? Like, if you, that's what you have to think about when you're taking that shot, right? Are you willing to lose it, and what are going to be the consequences? Some people don't think like that. Some people think more reactionary rather than, you know, sitting back and say, okay, let me see what I have here. Let me see what's going to happen if I don't, you know what I mean? I know you mentioned the girl, you never took a shot, right, on that girl, but you also mentioned that you're happily married. Mm-hmm. So you never took a shot on that girl, but it didn't matter because you are happily married now. Mm-hmm. So you didn't miss out on anything if you didn't take the shot. It didn't really matter. You just didn't say anything to the girl. So there are certain things that are going to have consequences. There are certain things that are not. I think things happen for a reason sometimes, and you just go about your life. I think what might have happened there, though, I think is that that taught you that, hey, when your wife, when your future wife came along, you were like, I'm taking this one. I'm not letting this one pass by. And that's made the difference.
I broke up with my girlfriend when I saw her. I didn't even know her yet.
Right.
I was like, yo, I got something to do. Fate is calling. Got to break up.
So you were taking it. Yeah, you were taking it. I just think it depends on what you have to lose. And I think people may listen to this and be like, well, I can't take that shot. I have a lot to lose. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, to each his own.
No, the shot has to be relative to you. And yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Like,
it's not, I'm not saying, you know, take the shots that Sam takes. No, it's going to be in your life. And the shot could be, mm-hmm. The shot could be going for that promotion that you don't think you're qualified for. Right. You know, that you think that that Brad next to you is more than qualified and no one's going to consider you. Go for it anyway. Let people know you exist. You know what I'm saying? That shot could be, you know what, not playing in Kings Park and you're going to stay playing in Smoky Park because Smoky Park is all the novices and you know that you're not good enough to play in Kings Park. Go to Kings Park. Get on the court. Take the loss. See how the bigger boys play, the more advanced players play. Get some skills from that. They're going to teach you, yeah. You know, and I think that's what I'm talking about, taking a shot. It's like what's relative to you, anything that you are trying to convince yourself out of, that's the important moment for you. When you're trying to convince yourself, I'm not good enough, I'm not qualified, no one's going to take me seriously, you know, whatever it is, that's your moment. That's the universe telling you, this is your time to step up and face yourself. That's what I'm talking about, taking a shot. It's like, it doesn't mean going out and saying, you know what, I'm going to freaking, you know, blow all this money, or I'm going to do this. It's what's preventing you from growing.
And I think that that's an important distinction to make, especially because, you know, we've looked at the numbers, and a lot of the people watching the show are 18 year old kids, some of them that are watching this show. And I don't want them to get the wrong impression of, yeah, man, just go out there and live life, you know, carelessly and just whatever.
Ask when the girl out.
When you're younger, it's easier to take those risks because you have less to lose.
No, I think
as you get older, you have more to lose. Absolutely. If you have a family, right? Yeah. You're not gonna take the same shots that an 18-year-old kid without a family that take. You're just not. In life, I'm just saying, just things like, hey man, I'm going to, you know, travel the world. I'm freaking doing it. When you're married with three kids, you're not gonna take that leap and go traveling across the world. You got a family to take care of. Yeah. You're not doing that. That's what I'm saying. Like things like that as
well. But that's what I'm saying. You have to put it in perspective to your current situation.
No, we're saying the same thing. No, I agree. Yeah. We're saying the same. I'm just saying, the clarification I think is important for the people that are watching the show. You understand what I'm saying? I think that we can't just, it's like in anything, we can't just sit here and think that, oh, you know what I meant? You know, it's,
it doesn't matter how much context you put into it. There's always going to be someone's own interpretation of it, you know? So,
but you can watch this show and I can tell you, I told you that. I was telling you that. What up, Chris? I told you this. We are going to talk. Oh man.
Good Lord. See? That's not even the hello. It's like, boom.
We are going to talk.
Oh, can we talk for a minute?
Me with a Tevin Campbell. Oh, hey, she took away the can we. She just said, we are going to talk.
She's like, come and talk to me. I really want to be you.
Oh, snapper. No, but it's a good topic, bro. And I think that that's what, it's one of those philosophical things, right? Like how everybody looks at their lives and the choices people make in their lives and things like that. And that's why it's a cool topic, because at the end of the day, there's no right or wrong reason. Somebody can say, hey, man, I don't take shots like that, dude. I don't do that. You know what I mean? Right. I take calculated risks. I call them calculated risks. I don't call them shots.
No, I think in any situation, I mean, I've a SWOT analysis, right? It's a risk threat analysis, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, right? In anything you do in life, whenever that's something that you think it's a, you got to rank it, you know, moderate, you know, high risk, low risk, moderate, whatever it is. I think at the end of the day, if it means internal growth, individualized growth, where you gain more confidence about yourself because you made a decision, just make the decision, you know, and live with it. I think that was the end of my message too. Whatever decision you make, live with it, you know, don't look back, you know. And I think, you know, for me, I have a lot of regrets, you know, on decisions where I just passed up opportunities because of fear, whatever it was. And so as
I'm Stan
Lee, that was another one. I got stage fright. The guy that I wanted to meet my whole life, and I got stage fright. You know, just to put him on a pedestal in my mind, and when the opportunity presented itself, I was like, well, I'm just a little podcaster. He's not going to want to talk to me, even though I was already in the queue, you know? And, but so it was like, boom. So for me, it's like, you can't take that back. You know, I can't get that back. The guy's gone, you know? So it was like, all right, so make sure going forward that, you know what, just take the shot, Sam. And, you know, you'll feel a lot better about yourself. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, it's like, it's just another notch in the belt, that you can say to help build self-confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, I will say this. when you're talking about, you know, for example, the damsel that you were talking about, fellas, just be careful. Okay. Because following a girl around,
I wasn't following anybody.
Listen to what I'm going to say. And taking the shot doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're doing the right thing. Make sure that she's okay with that. You know what I mean? Make sure that it's okay.
Ask her out.
You know what I'm saying? That's all. You know what I mean?
All you have to do is just say, hi, my name is blah, 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 blah. I'd love to take you for coffee and talk to you. And she says, I'm not interested. Just keep it pushing. Bounce. At least you did it. Bounce. Get it out of your system. You know what I'm saying? You know what? All right. I got dismissed. Now that that's failure success rate, right? You don't know, but you don't. I'd rather know than not know.
Yeah,
that's the big thing.
Yeah, because it's funny because Sammy's out here, you know, waiting, you know, that whole story, waiting for her, and like, not waiting for her, but like, you know, you guys, right? Finally she shows up with a supervisor, and I'm thinking, damn, was that like her bodyguard right there? Like, yo, that guy over there keeps following me around.
Had she show up alone, then I'd be like, all right, but when, you know, because I saw it was like, it was business. I was in uniform on duty. I was like, oh no, I don't know what this is about. And I just turned around. I was like, I don't see her. I was like, and then I turned and we're gone.
You had people follow her on the bus. She's like, yo, I can't show up after that.
Yeah, but that's why my boy came with his girlfriend. Because it would have been non-threatening, because she was gonna talk to her and says, hey, you know that doughy-eyed boy over there, you know, he's really wants to know who you are. But kudos to them again. Kudos to Raymond. Wherever you are, thanks a lot. That'll always stick out of my mind. You know, no regrets. I think the moral of the story is don't have any regrets. And, if you make the decision, you live with it, then you can't regret it because you made the decision. If you didn't make a decision, then you're going to live with regrets.
I think definitely. Yeah, I'll agree with you 100% on if you're going to make a decision, make it right away. I'm telling you right now, that's how accidents happen. When people are indecisive and don't know whether I should go, should I go, should I not go? Nah, man. If you're gonna go.
I quit it when I was in security. I used to tell my guys, the moment they raise their hand, don't wait to get hit. Take them down, right? And so whenever I did an apprehension with my team, they would have to follow my lead. And I always tell people, I said, we could do it two ways. Your way is gonna hurt. My way, we're gonna be friends. We're gonna walk. No one's even gonna know the fact that you're a shoplifter. We're just gonna go down to the office, do some paperwork, and everything's good. You get to go home. And the moment they raise up, I don't wait to get hit. You're on the floor. You know, we take you to down, we cuff you, and we bring you down. And I was told, I said, don't wait to get hit. You got to be able to read the body language and react. And sometimes my guys wait, they got smacked up because they waited to get hit, you know, because they see people around and they're apprehensive of what, you know, regular customers are going to say. They say, you got smacked. It's like, no, you know, don't wait to get hit. And as long as you're not hitting. You know, I always tell them, as long as you're not hitting, if you take them down and using wrestling moves, you're not hitting, so you're not being seen as an aggressor. You're looking at someone who's trying to defuse a situation and create some order in an environment that can go chaotic.
No, of course. I think that, and that's a perfect example of just like life itself, right? Like sometimes you can't just take the shot in that moment. You can't. You got to wait, kind of like, for anything, like, in other words, you can't hit them. You can't strike that person.
No.
But if there is something that is about to happen, like you said, the body language, then you gotta react. And I think that's almost like what we're talking about in a sense. You know, sometimes you gotta weigh out your options and decide at that point what you're going to do. If you feel like they're in your favor, take the shot and go for it. And then whatever happens, happens at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, no, it's interesting, man. I think we all, especially in indies, you know, us indies, we're constantly, you know, second guessing whether or not we should or shouldn't we. Should we write that story? Should we draw that artwork? Should we do this? Should we do that? Just do it. Like at that point, that kind of stuff to me is like, just get it done. Nothing's going to happen unless you do it.
Yeah.
So I 100%, you know, what at that point, what do you have to lose? People don't like your stuff. All right. So you keep it moving. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't please everybody. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Especially in something like this, because it's all, I think it's all subjective, man. Some people like different things, different artwork, you know. A good story is a good story regardless. And make sure you're writing a good story. That's the thing, though. Make sure you're writing a good story. Make sure that if you're drawing something, make sure it's anatomically correct if you're drawing realistic stuff. Cartoony stuff, you know, hey, have fun with it. But at that point, if you are an indie and you're wondering, what should I do? Just stop wondering. Just do it. You know, just do that kind of stuff. And I agree with you 100% on creatively just taking those shots and then, you know, and being fearless about it.
Yeah, you know, you only get, I mean, look, life just goes on with or without you. You know, tomorrow's not promised. What happens today is in your control. That's it, you know, and so take control of the moment. and be in the moment and embrace it and try to live your best life. And I think that's the biggest message I could tell anybody. It's just, you know, it's never going to be perfect. I mean, licensing was a perfect example. You know, I did everything to make it perfect. I couldn't foresee my packages being lost. I couldn't foresee my banners being stolen. I couldn't foresee me getting sick. All those things, right? You know, but I still made the best of the situation because I was there. And so I think, you know, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be ideal. But if you enjoy what you do and you love it, just take the positives as they come, because there's always going to be negatives.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Hindsight is always 20/20, as they say, right? So in hindsight, is there anything that you think you should have probably done differently that you maybe didn't do and things might have turned out a little differently at the show?
FedEx my stuff. I think the show, you know, and I can't disclose things, but the show went, we'll see what happens from it. I think I should have, I think here's what my deal is. I needed to, when I decided to come back into comics, I just needed to pick one thing and focus on it and build on that. And I think what happens is I was doing a lot of things, right? You know, so there's Forbidden, there's Catch the Crazies, there's, you know, I got the children's books, all that stuff, whatever. What I learned is focus on one brand and build from there. You know, what are people talking about? What are people mostly talking about? They all most be talking about this one character. And so let me freaking nurture this character, nurture the brand, and make that my focus, and do what I need to do to get it into stores, do what I need to do to, you know, to work with retailers and, you know, whether it's getting my activity books into stores before the comic, whatever it is, I needed to do that first. And I think I was feeling my way through the game the past 2 years, trying to find what's going to be the one that pops off when I already knew what it was. And I think that's the biggest lesson I took, you know, focus on one thing, make it the best. You know, Charles Schulz focused on Peanuts, you know, it's like, and make it the best you can. And then have the other options down the road, but make this, you know, and so that's my biggest lesson. It's be singular focused, and put everything I have into that and then go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, sometimes you have to, again, going back to the taking a shot, sometimes you got to make the mistakes to learn from them. So, you know, lesson learned, you know, focus on one property and go from there. You know, don't spread yourself out too thin. Especially as an indie. I think once you have a rap, well, once people know who you are and stuff like that, you can come out with different things and different projects and things like that, you know. Yeah. But if you look at, like you mentioned, Charles Schulz, like what else is he known for, you know? Sure, you had other ideas, but what else is he known for? Mac Rowan, you know, The Simpsons. What else is he known for? Like, you know, maybe Futurama, maybe, but like, you know,
the Turtles. So, I mean,
yeah. I mean, these guys, these people focused on that one title, and granted, they probably went on to do other things, but you know, we know them mostly for that one thing. It's very tough for a person to be known for more than one, you know, character or.
I mean, look at Tommy Fallon, Spawn. Oh, he has his universe with all these characters, but they all live in the Spawnverse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, I think that was my biggest lesson. You know, it's like.
See, but Todd is, like, again, we talked about Todd before, because he gained notoriety from characters like Spider-Man, right? And what he did for Spider-Man, how he changed the way the webbing was drawn or whatever. And from there, he said, all right, now I'm going to put out my character. So again, that was one of those things where it's like, okay, this was a guy who was known for that, and then he went on to do those things. For us, it's a little different because we're not in the industry. We haven't worked on any, you know, it's not like people say, oh, Sam, yeah, he drew the Hulk, and the Hulk looks the way he looks because of Sam. Now I'm going to go support Duty. You know, it's not like that. Right. You're starting from the ground. Like, you're starting from the very bottom. Like, nobody knows anything about Sam. And now, oh, Sam, the creator of this, name in my toilet of Duty, you know, whatever. So Todd is all on his own. Like, he's got a thing all of his own. But yeah, man. Listen. Hopefully, Duty, you know, keeps doing his thing. Issue number two is on Kickstarter right now for everybody watching. If you haven't done so yet, support the campaign.
Yes.
Kickstarter campaign for Duty is live. And if If you haven't done so yet, and if you decide that you right now are about to pledge, then Sammy's got a little gift for you.
If you pledge it right now during this stream, you'll get this bookmark added to your package. So if you back the campaign, issue one and issue two, you're going to get the free magnet, which is a 3-inch by 4-inch magnet. If you back it right now during this live stream, you're going to get this. Or if you back it tonight during Andrew Davis's show. Andrew Daniels. Yeah, tonight at 8 p.m. Okay. Eastern Standard Time, I'm on Andrew Daniels' podcast. If you back me, there's nothing in my toilet while I'm on that live stream, that you'll get that bookmark added to your package. So for physical backers, digital backers will get a digital copy. Physical backers will get a physical copy. There's an incentive. So there's an incentive for return backers. If you didn't back issue one, but you backed Wonder Duck and you back issue two, you'll get the magnet as well. So there's a lot of incentives for everybody. So check it out. It's a great product. If you have kids, great way to get them into comics and add a little educational twist to it and get them to have fun learning. Great for the kids. So it's a great birthday gift. If you have a birthday party coming up and you want to have something for all the kids that are coming to the party, hey, order multiple copies.
Yeah, man. Awesome stuff. No, thank you guys. And thank you again for everyone who pledged to the campaign, the Adventures of Wonder Duck. Thank you very much. I will be updating you guys on, obviously when the funds come in and when I start sending stuff out. So you will be getting updates. I didn't do as much updates while the campaign was live, but now that it's ended, I definitely want to keep you guys in the loop as to what's going on and what's happening with the campaign until you finally receive your books. And then when you receive the packages, make sure that you post that you've received them, or at least let me know you've received them so I know everybody's got their stuff. And I'll be looking out for those golden tickets that are coming into your random packages. Can't wait to see who gets those, and can't wait to see what you think of them. So that is it. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's it. So again, this is another episode of The Morning Brew. We are back on our regularly scheduled programming. We'll be back next week with indie guests. We're back on to our roster. And if you have any topics you'd like me to cover on the Crazy Nonetheless, let me know. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a thumbs up, share, like, recommend it to a friend. If you're on the audio podcast and you're listening to us, head over to YouTube and subscribe. When we grow, the indie community grows. With that said, I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
Please. And we are out.